Welcome to Ask the Chief Information Officer on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Every week, Federal News Radio interviews the CIOs of federal agencies about the latest directives, IT challenges, and successes. Now here's your host, Jason Miller.
My special guest today is Sean Kingsbury, the Recovery, Accountability, and Transparency Board's Chief Information Officer. Sean, this is a return trip for you to Ask the CIO. Welcome back.
Hey, thanks a lot for having me.
So you guys are always doing a lot of interesting, a lot of fascinating things around cloud, around transparency. Obviously, it's in your name. But I want to start with a white paper that you guys recently finished up about advanced analytics in the cloud. And this is something that I think every agency is starting to face, of how to deal with the big data problem. Give me a sense of what is that white paper. What was the goals of it? And then we'll get into more details.
Let me kind of back up and kind of tell you where the writing of the white paper actually came from. So if we go back to the Consolidated Appropriations Act of 2012, what that did is that gave us, that authorized the Recovery Board to actually leverage the lessons learned from recovery.gov for across all federal spending. And with that, it caused us to actually stop and pause, right? Instead of reacting and quickly going to start building a bunch of new technologies and processes and what have you, what we did is we actually looked across all of the services that we provide internally and externally, because when you look at information management, in essence, services that you provide externally or internally, regardless, you're providing services to customers. So what we did is we kind of said, well, maybe this is an opportunity to begin to leverage some of the things that we've been talking about when you look at this whole cloud hub discussion, cloud hub and cloud broker, which we had been talking about ever since our migration to the Amazon cloud for recovery.gov. So instead of us just standing up our own cloud hub quickly, what we did is we actually decided to write a white paper. And what we did is we interviewed a variety of large, medium, and small agencies. I mean, from NOAA, from a large agency all the way down to SBA, right? And then in parallel with federal agencies, leaders in the space from a Juniper, Microsoft, Amazon, CGI Federal, right? When you other players in the cloud, big data and data analytics space. And what we did is we asked them questions, you know, what works? What works? What doesn't work? What are the challenges? What would you do differently, from contracting to information assurance to culture within an agency? What are the types of things that you can share? And what we did is we used the outcome of those interviews in that white paper to build our cloud hub. And what we did is we literally addressed every information assurance issue that was raised across the roughly 30 people we interviewed. And I can use this as an example. Like in some cases, I was, okay, if you're using a cloud provider and they use third world companies as partners within their cloud, how do you deal with that? Right? From our perspective, it's okay, well, don't deal with it at all. We're going to be CONUS. So if we're CONUS, those problems go away. So we systematically went through every issue that was raised and to build our mature cloud hub.
You talk about all these issues that you address. So you, 30 people you interviewed. Was there any two or three or four issues that really stood out? Was there anything that people pointed to time and again that you said, oh, that's the biggest issue?
Yes. First one was contracting. And it was clear, and we actually interviewed GSA as well, right? But it was clear that the federal government is making a lot of advances in ways to procure IT services, which is different than buying a server. But it was also clear that we still have some opportunities to do things a little better. And I use this as an example. As federal realizes that there are opportunities to do things, a lot of times what we do is we'll stand up something new without looking left and right, meaning it would be great if there was one place from a contracting standpoint that had all of the contracts and vehicles that the entire federal government can actually leverage these types of services from left to right, meaning if you're trying to actually procure these types of cloud services and you need to have something in play in the next month, right, it's going to be further to the left than closer to the right. That's going to be 18 months from now, right? That was one. Contracting was a big deal. Another one was the whole view of vendor lock-in. What does that mean when we, you know, there's this fear that if a federal agency migrates to a specific cloud provider, they will be locked in. So we took that as we, you know, built out our cloud hub. And we went through a variety of vendors to see which ones actually get you locked in versus, or does it exist? Is it possible you can not get locked in? And I'm telling you, you can.
I was going to ask, right, let me interrupt, because did you find that if you looked at, and let's make up a number, 10 vendors, was it 5 and 5? Was it 3 and 7? What did you find without obviously naming names?
5 and 5 is a good even mix. But I can tell you that you can procure software as a service or infrastructure as a service and not have lock-in. And we proved it because what we did is we actually migrated to a cloud provider and migrated back to ensure from an infrastructure as a service and an email as a service that if we choose a certain cloud provider and I want to do something differently, at the end of that contract engagement, I can.
You said you migrated them and you migrated back. Was it a test that you did basically just to see what would happen?
Yeah.
But did they know you were going to do that?
No, they had no idea that we were going to do it. We were leveraging, if from our perspective, we spoke with enough leaders in the industry to take what they said seriously. So we did our own test. But again, that's kind of what makes our agency a lot different than other federal agencies. We have people that work for the board that actually really do understand technology from a hands-on perspective, and we don't just blindly trust.
When you decided to migrate back, did you find any hiccups, or was it fairly smooth because you chose the right provider based on the contract terms and conditions, or was there something in that migration back that said, okay, for next time, this is how we will fix that, whatever that issue was?
So I'll say for one of the vendors that it wasn't a smooth transition back. You really were challenged if you needed to get out of your contract situation. But I can say we chose Microsoft 365 for our mail and collaboration migration. And they have something, they have a really cool feature, which is called their rich hybrid configuration. And what that gives you, that actually killed several birds with the same stone, meaning it gave us the ability to have compliance. And one of the other issues, which the third issue I was going to raise, was visibility and auditability of all of your traffic from your customers and outbound. So by having this rich hybrid configuration, what it does now, even if I go to Microsoft Online, if I send an email, it comes back to my cloud, the board's cloud hub on-prem for compliance. And we have capabilities like Proofpoint, which is used for compliance in email. So if someone sends a credit card, it's stopping, it's not going out. So it helps us control data leakage. But because of that configuration, I have full view of all network traffic. So I have all auditing. So now it really doesn't matter who the mail provider is or who the cloud provider is. As long as I can see all of the network traffic and turn it into a network challenge, now I literally have full view of data, I have auditing of all data, and I have the ability to roll off if I want to go between cloud providers. So Microsoft 365 just turned into a really good alternative for us.
All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about that full view, because I think that's one of the biggest concerns around cloud is understanding where your data is and what's happening. As I said, we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Sean Kingsbury, the Recovery, Accountability, and Transparency Board's Chief Information Officer.
So, guess what I just heard?
You mean about the Roth TSP?
Okay, yeah. Well, also
that bid protest on the DOD contract.
Right, but did you know
who the Senate confirmed for the administrator's job?
Well, what about
OMB's digital strategy?
Jeez. How do you know everything that's going on in the federal government?
I know because I signed up for Federal News Radio's email alerts.
Be in the know and know it first with Federal News Radio's email alerts. Sign up today at federalnewsradio.com. Search email alerts.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Sean Kingsbury, the Recovery, Accountability, and Transparency Board's Chief Information Officer. Now, Sean, before break, we're talking a lot about the cloud hub. Let me start with the first thing that you said at the very end before break. You talked about having that full view of your data. When you were able to see that you had that ability, did that make this process of cloud hub just so much easier?
In a big way, the biggest point is the data. And that's what, based on all of the interviews that we had and all of the discussions I've had with several leaders across the federal government, is we kind of we look at cloud as new, even though I'm going to say we're probably in the next evolution of that now, as it's real. I think people are starting to understand it's really about the data. So you really can't talk cloud without talking information assurance, without talking mobile, without talking big data, right? You have to. And when you look at what cloud, mobile, and big data is actually doing, it's an enabler for you to reach in and get to the data. Mobile is a delivery mechanism. Cloud is a way of accessing the data in multiple ways. Big data is a way of asking questions of the data across large amounts of data. So when you look at it from that perspective, you say it's about the security controls that are required around the data. And based on that, you have to deal with the different data in different ways. So what we actually learned from this was we needed to stand up our cloud hub in a way that we can actually have the access control to this data controlled in a way where we not only can provide data in a secured fashion, but we can also make sure the right people have access to the right data at the right time, and it will be accessed by the right applications from a delivery perspective. So what we did is we stood up our cloud hub and we categorized it, right? So we have six key categories from governance, protection, access control, monitoring, systems management, and kind of like Coop from a backup perspective. And inside each of these categories, what we do is we have components. These components are actually products like Proofpoint, like data protection managers. When you look at our cloud hub, we're using the Cisco Nexus series, right? When you look at the software-defined networking way of doing business. And what that gave us, all of these play a role in these different categories. And once Federal understands that, before I get caught up in all of the hype behind cloud and elasticity, and you remove that and look at the business and say, I already have to protect this data based on FISMA. If I look at it from that perspective, there are controls that I have to have to protect this data and now choose cloud capabilities to match the security controls that you need for your data.
Let me just break it down for a second, because just to make it a little more clear, you looked at each different piece of this cloud hub and said, who deserves or needs the roles and responsibilities to access this data? Then you built it around it using this access control technology and the existing technologies that you're using within it. So for instance, and one of them you said was systems management, that you may say, well, we only want our systems administrator and these three other people to have access to that part of the cloud. So therefore, they're going to need not only their HSPD12, PIV card, but they may also need a PIN or a password, a third factor, if you will. But maybe for governance, more people can have access to that. So we'll keep it more basic, and it's just your basic HSPD12 card. I know I make it simple, but is that the basics?
That is the basics. And it's really interesting when you look at the different category of customer is going to go through a different process. So I use this as an example. We provide external services to roughly 15 external agencies, provide analytics as a service, fraud analytics as a service. So we have a whole process where we go through requests for assistance that we go through where we have documented processes of what is it that you're actually trying to achieve, what type of analytics do you need, and then it actually gets into, we have MOUs that we put in play between agencies and ISAs when we look at looking between the architectures between our agency and other agencies, and then we go through a whole whitelisting process, right, where we say, well, we're going to whitelist agencies, and then we have soft tokens to begin to get into two-factor authentication to bring customers in, because the goal is to narrow the vulnerability exposure as much as possible. Now, for RATB employees, they're still coming through the same stack. We have them handled differently because they are RATB employees, they're badged employees, they have access based on their existing Active Directory OUs and what have you. So the cloud hub had to address the different categories of customers as well, and you described it accurately.
Are you using HSPD12 or using those PIV cards, or how is the security, the access control works?
Right now, it's a combination of whitelisting and RSA soft tokens.
Because I think one of the things is can you take an outside token, in your case, an RSA token or a whitelisting, and apply it to somebody else's cloud? Because I imagine you're using the cloud hub is not necessarily a government-only cloud, but it could be a commercial cloud that is walled off to the government, mm-hmm. or it's somehow a hybrid cloud.
And it could be, right? So, yes, with the technology that we have, we could use PIV cards, which that's the next phase of our implementation. We could use PIV cards for authentication in, and the goal is really to go there because it just makes it easier for us to act as a shared service provider to external agencies.
Is there a timing for the PIV cards? Because I know that there's a push from the White House through the cross-agency priority goals for cyber to get more and more agencies to use those logical access cards.
Over the next 6 months.
All right, something to follow up with you with. Let's shift for a second. You guys also are working on not just the Cloud Hub, but developing some risk models to deal with data and find possible and proper payments. This is probably related to the cloud, in fact, in the sense that it probably uses the cloud to do some of those analytics. But let's talk about those risk models. Where are they and how do they work?
What we've done is, in standing up our private analytic cloud, which is federalaccountability.gov, what we've done is we've stood up a risk framework, which we look at as kind of like the starting of the process from a pre-screening perspective. And what we've done is we've automated the retrieval from a data services perspective of several risk databases across the federal government, from the excluded party list, death master file, DMV credit and collections, and a whole host of other data sources. And what we've done is we bring those data sources down to our data warehouse in federalaccountability.gov, and we've extracted out key attributes to build our data mart, which we call CPR, Core Payee Record Index. And what this gives us the ability to do with our pre-screening service is to quickly run queries of entities against roughly 100 million rows in minutes. So we could run in seconds, because you can do individual searches or batch searches. So I can give you an example. We can run a batch search of 2 million records against 100 million rows in now 5 minutes, and now we're actually getting that even lower. So we use that as basically the springboard to start the process, because what that does is that gives you a reason to pause. You got to think, we're dealing with federal data sources, and in some cases the data quality isn't the greatest. So we understand that our most valuable asset is our people, the analysts that understand the data, the analysts that understand the difference between what's a false positive and a false negative versus an actual potential reason to pause. And then from there, that's the process begins to continue to move forward. Now, on top of that, we have a variety of tool set in our analytic platform. So this federalaccountability.gov is a completely virtualized platform that leverages in-memory computing and a variety of analytic tools, from Esri to Palantir to UReveal, which is great for structured and unstructured data analysis, Oracle and Deca, which leverages ways to extract the data out into metadata so you can quickly ask questions of the data. So this whole platform is a combination of people, process, and technology. And if you take any of these pieces out of the equation, you're not going to get the same results out the other end.
It's the old three-legged stool analogy, I'm sure. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk more about this data analytics and risk models. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Sean Kingsbury, the Recovery, Accountability, and Transparency Board's Chief Information Officer.
The Department of Defense faces some big changes in the coming years. I'm Federal News Radio's DoD reporter, Jared Serbin. We help you track those changes every Wednesday afternoon from 2 to 3 with On DoD. Each week, we'll talk one-on-one with defense experts and senior managers about the policies, programs, and innovations that affect warfighters and how the military will continue to meet its mission. That's On DoD, Wednesday afternoons at 2, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Sean Kingsbury, the Recovery, Accountability, and Transparency Board's Chief Information Officer. Now, Sean, before break, we're talking about the development of risk models, data analytic tools that you guys are putting together. All of this is done through Cloud Hub, which, to tag back to the early part of our conversation, that's where everything runs through. Give me an example of something you guys are doing with an agency now that is using these tools, these analytics, these analysts who are making these decisions to help deal with waste, fraud, and abuse.
Let's use DOJ as an example. We're on the Residential Mortgage Task Force, and we're, you know, working on the mortgage crisis. And in that, it's really a good partnership where we talk weekly, but we also provide services externally. So key analysts on the DOJ side actually have access to this platform if they choose. But in parallel, our analysts, the board analysts, actually work as a team, a joint team, for us to look for patterns and talk about the patterns that we see. And this was actually really a really interesting engagement, because with this one, we're looking at structured and unstructured data. And with that, it really lends to a variety of opportunities that and tools that we have in our platform. But it's working, and the whole providing remote access and leveraging this platform to collectively work toward a common goal, it's really working well.
When you say you provide remote access, so if a Department of Justice analyst wants to use some of the tools that you guys provide, they go in through the web, they go in through their desktop, through their mobile device potentially, or how does it work so they can have access?
So right now, all of the above is possible because of how we've developed federalaccountability.gov, meaning we actually provide secured access in to our platform, and then from there, you can spawn our VMView to actually receive a virtual desktop. But in parallel, you can connect directly with a Zero or Thin client directly securely through our federalaccountability.gov infrastructure, providing 256-bit encryption and what have you.
When you say it's been successful, give me an example of the success.
Because this is law enforcement, it's hard to actually, you know, go down and describe the details of what success means, right? But I can say that there are several success criteria that we're meeting. When you look at analysts actually working together across large amounts of data, finding things that weren't easily found before, and actually turning this into cases moving to the next level.
Let me jump forward a little bit. You have a bunch of other priorities you're working on. One of them includes the work you're doing with Hurricane Sandy relief. Talk about what are you trying to get done beyond all the stuff we've already talked about over the next 6 or 9 months.
We have oversight from a fraud, waste, and abuse perspective for the roughly $60 billion to support Hurricane Sandy. So this is one of our key priorities, because we're going to be working on that from now through 2015. So when you look at what that means, that gives us how we do business. Transparency drives accountability. It has always been how we've been successful thus far. So what we're doing is we're leveraging a lot of the lessons learned, infrastructure, and tools from recovery.gov on the transparency side and the accountability side. So we've done things like pulling in all of the data associated with Hurricane Sandy. And with that, again, we're constantly bringing in more and more data. And with that, we bring that into our analytic platform, which also visualizes it. We leverage Esri from a mapping standpoint to actually see the locations of the recipients of these funds. And then again, we bump this against our risk model, and then from there, it begins to move forward into a lot of the link analysis and what have you. But with that, opens up opportunities for innovation. And that's kind of what we're looking at now. So we aren't just looking at doing business as usual with how we ran the program for transparency and accountability of stimulus, because this is a different world when you look at what this means. And we're partnering with different agencies like FEMA, the HUD, Sandy Rebuilding Strike Force, and actually DOJ in other ways too, New York City, New Jersey, Connecticut. I mean, so this is an interesting opportunity. I think we are the agency to do this, and I think we can contribute and make a difference for the country.
When you say you're applying the lessons learned from recovery.gov, can you give me an example of and maybe tie it back to the cloud hub? Are you standing up a sandyrelief.gov type of website, or are you using tools that said, hey, this tool worked really well in 2009 or 2010, but with this newer technology, now it works even better?
So what we're doing, and this also goes back to the Consolidated Appropriations Act of 2012, we stood up what we call the Recovery Community Cloud. And the Recovery Community Cloud, it's really interesting because it provides a platform for us to actually spin off new and distinct websites, but leveraging the platform, right? Meaning the data analytic platform, the data warehouse infrastructure, and all of the software that powers up recovery.gov. In essence, if you go to the Education Jobs Fund, federaltransparency.gov, and federalaccountability.gov, it's all built off of the Recovery Community Cloud. So when we look at what the possibilities are, is we could spin off a new website, and it could be anyone's website. It could be HUD's website. It could be New York's website. It could be FEMA's website. But it doesn't have to be us in particular. So right now we're working with different agencies, and we're going to see, there may be several websites, right? But it's all leveraging this platform and this framework, providing private cloud infrastructure to have secured lockdown control with analytics and the ability to be able to push from a content push perspective to publicly facing websites as well.
Working on Sandy relief and the appropriations and the funding behind that present any different or new challenges than recovery did, whether it's a technology challenge or it's a different type of funding, because recovery was much bigger in many ways, in all the ways, but also this is being sent to a different type of local level as well.
The biggest challenge, or let's say opportunity, that I'll say we're faced with is there's no recipient reporting, right? I mean, the recipient reporting piece is what enabled recovery.gov to be listed as the highest level of integrity across all federal financial reporting systems, because we were getting the information directly from the recipients, and they had to report up through a cycle, and the agencies had to actually approve that this made sense and it was accurate. So with this process, you don't have that. So we have to actually, that's why I say there's opportunities for innovation. Now we have to look at ways to try and get the same level of quality and integrity without having recipient reporting, but still be able to go low enough to be able to get the analysts what they need to actually do the business of fraud, waste, and abuse.
There's probably no CIO who won't say they're always looking for new and innovative technologies. Are you doing anything out of the ordinary to find those technologies? Are you having industry days? Are you reaching out to industry in any way to say, hey, this is where we need help, who can help us?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, I have several people knocking on our door. And I can tell you, I mean, there are several companies that have interesting data sets that can help us in some big ways. I mean, I can just mention one, Neustar, as an example. They do some really interesting things dealing with data and some of the bad actors that are actually out there and how their data feeds other data sources. So when you begin to look at them, and now we get into this new, I'm going to say the new way we need to look at data from a big data perspective and what have you, is not just about bringing the data, storing the data. It's a combination of bringing the data, storing the data, and leveraging APIs to get to larger data sets, right, that actually have integrity, matching all of those up to actually go toward a common goal. So we're investigating those types of things now as well.
But unfortunately, we are out of time. I'm sure we could talk even longer. But you've been listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today was Sean Kingsbury, the Recovery, Accountability, and Transparency Board's Chief Information Officer. Sean, thank you so much for taking the time to join us once again.
Thanks a lot for having me.
You've been listening to Ask the Chief Information Officer on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Ask the CIO, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, WFED. Your source for federal news now.